Welcome to Thriving Parenting, your safe space to explore the parent behind the act of parenting itself. I am your host, Jen Cutress, an early parenting mentor, sleep coach, mind-body practitioner, registered nurse, and a mum just like you. Each week, I'll bring you fresh perspectives through solo episodes and guest conversations that challenge, support, and inspire. My mission? To help you trust yourself in parenting, deepen your connection with your child, and navigate the hard moments with less stress and more confidence. Let's dive in. Welcome to another episode of Baby Bite Size, hosted by Thriving Parenting. These are available to you once a fortnight, where I get to answer your specific questions, whether it's sleep, whether it's related to stress in parenting, whether it's related to development or something else. These bite size podcast episodes are for you to binge and get right to the point on an issue that might be impacting you right now. And this episode is all about nap transitions. Specifically, the question was around the 3-2 nap transition when I posted online on my Instagram stories, what question do you want answered on the podcast? But we will dive into all the nap transitions so that you feel like you have some information depending on which age and stage your child is at. So I'm really excited to dive in. But before we do, I want to say my situation right now. My bathroom is currently getting tiled, and you may have seen this on Instagram stories as well, but I am feeling under pressure to record this podcast while my Tyler is on his lunch break. I feel super awkward him being in the house where I'm like, hey, and chatting on a podcast. And even though this, I guess in my world, is like a normal part of my job, I still feel weird about it. And on that note, this podcast has now been around for a whole year. I actually haven't stopped to smell the roses and really acknowledge that until now, because I'm on week 3 of my hubby returning to FIFO life, and I just haven't had so much space and time to think about things. But yeah, that's a huge achievement. I am so proud of myself. I think this must be the most consistent I have been in my business in any area. Social media, I'll go up and down, but this podcast, I have loved jumping on every single week and delivering content this way to you. I have really, really enjoyed it and continue to enjoy it. And what's crazy is I think about when I first started the podcast, the anxiety, the excited, nervous energy that I had. My nervous system was definitely spending a lot of time in fight or flight and going, oh my gosh, can this be possible? And now I've actually been through the consistency, through the practice and repeating, like we need in any hard area in life or whenever we try something new, I have brought safety to this. So this now feels safe. My nervous system is like, tick, I don't have to panic when she's recording anymore. I don't have to give her these feelings like, what the hell are you doing? Like, you should step away from the microphone. You are not qualified enough to talk to a wider community. All the things, right? That's just gone now. This just feels so normal and so safe. And I really love that. Except when you're rushing to get a podcast episode out because the Tyler's going to walk in any minute. Oh, I'm such an idiot sometimes. Anyway, let's get into the episode. So nap transitions. There are definitely age ranges that nap transitions generally occur for our little ones. And this is not made up numbers. This is based on the science of development. Because if we think about what naps do, basically their job is to shave off just enough sleep pressure for us to get good quality sleep. And with our growing little bubs, the world is such a big, crazy place, they're not going to be able to necessarily handle huge awake times without going into a tired and wired state of being. So these naps make life tolerable. They help our little people recharge. They help with memory formation, moving short-term memories for long-term memories. So for example, if they've just learned something in their awake time, then they have a nap, that gets stored and processed. So they are fantastic for our kids learning, but also to reduce the sleep pressure so that they have capacity for this learning, that they have the concentration for this learning. They can tackle new because their brains have energy resources ready because they've shaven off some of that sleep pressure. And then we know that our kids evolve. They are getting more and more developed, more and more used to the world. And what comes with more and more development is being able to handle more time awake. So the nap transitions are necessary and natural part of our kids' evolution. But on top of this, we need to consider our individual circumstances and individuality. When I talk, I really want to emphasize that yes, we have averages when these nap transitions occur, but we don't just transition them because they're in that bracket. We really want to see the signs of readiness. And so much of the content I'm talking through today is in my nap transition guide that I created. It's like a little handbook. It's $27 and it will take you through signs of readiness from the 3-2 nap, 2-1, 1-0, as well as expert tips, because I've worked with so many of you and so many times you might reach out to me for support on night waking or supporting your baby to enjoy and find the cot peaceful to sleep in or to transition away from so much external support within the sleep process, whatever it might be, or a combination of all of it. And there's been so many times that when we've started work, we've also seen a need for a nap transition and worked through that together. I would love to do the number on how many clients I've supported through a nap transition, but it's definitely within the hundreds. So I have provided expert tips in this guide on things to consider and also ways to transition, because it definitely isn't a one size fits all. We want some options of how this can look for our unique child and family dynamic. Okay, so let's start with the 3-2 naps. When do we generally see this occur? I personally see this happen around 6 to 8 months of age. There will be babies out there that are 9 months still having 3 naps during the day. I would put money on the fact that there's less likely to be planned naps throughout their day, or they are catnapping babies, or the families are taking a very much they'll just sleep when they want to sleep type of vibe. So that means there could be a range of naps going on for these families, like short power naps here and there on a car, then another one on the way home or whatever it might be. And again, I really want to come back to it's what works for your family. You don't have to change anything if it's not working. What I tend to find, and even if a client is still on 3 naps during the day and they're around 8 months, I generally start to see bedtime taking a long time, more night wakes appearing, early rises appearing. They can be some classic telltale signs. Actually, they would highly benefit from shifting to 2 naps now. So that's the 3-2 nap age bracket. Shortly, I'm going to go into some key indicators that may be telling you it's time to transition. And this goes for all nap transitions. So the 2-1 nap, when does this transition happen? Generally speaking, between 15 and 18 months of age is when it happens. I do see some bubs, especially in this transition, might transition a bit earlier, could be like 13, 14 months. For example, a twin mum I was working with, they were already on 1 nap at 13 months old, and it was working for this family in terms of how their night was consolidated, how they were going down to bed. But I wouldn't hesitate bringing back in a little nap if there was things going on there once we had addressed other areas that were impacting the ability to fall asleep with ease or settle throughout the night or whatever it might have been. So 15 to 18 months is definitely a range I see often. And then we have the last nap. Generally speaking, again, this is between 2.5 to 3 years of age is when I see a majority of clients shifting to no naps. I know, it's like, really? Are we there? Like now? This is crazy. I think there's definitely more mourning sometimes for the parent than the child when that nap disappears. There are also two significant times in your child's development that I will sometimes see naps being dropped more related to their development than an actual need for less sleep. And these occur around 12 months of age when the progression around there is such a huge surge of independence and the ability to be like, yeah, I'm not going to nap. And that nap resistance at 12 months is absolutely huge and generally will affect majority of families at least once or twice. And the other one is 2 years old. Again, it comes down to I can say no and yeah, I'm not going to nap. And while there are two-year-olds that are very strong-willed and parents absolutely just say this has become a non-worth it pile, we generally see if that two-year-old is in the car around nap time, they're going to fall asleep. So it's generally not when they're necessarily ready to drop the naps, but development is so strong. They have zero impulse control. So they are just going to keep asserting that independence and they can't shut it off. They don't know what's best for them that, hey, you would feel amazing if you had a quick nap. Did you know that? They are just not registering that at all. So 12 months and 2 years are common times parents will transition. And look, it can be fine. I'm not denying the fact that kids can't be okay with that. But there's a lot of families I'll also see bearing the brunt of some really gnarly side effects of dropping the nap too soon, which can be a 12-month-old starting to wake up multiple times during the night or early rising or not going down at bedtime, and pretty much the same with the two-year-old as well. So you can always reach out. I do want to emphasize if you need some help with this, or you're not sure how to manage this behavior, you kind of know they still need a nap, but you're not sure what to do, grab the nap transition guide or contact me and we can have a chat into your situation. The links for all of this is in the show notes. Quick break from the episode. I wanted to ask you, how are you? How are you really feeling in your parenting and baby sleep journey? If sleep is feeling hard, overwhelming, or like you're just surviving instead of thriving as a parent, I have something for you. I offer a free sleep clarity session, a chance to slow down with me, get clear on what's working and what's not, and figure out the next steps that feel right for you and your baby together. No pressure, just support. Are you ready to take that first step? Book your free session today. Link is in the show notes. Now back to the episode. Okay, so let's go into 5 key indicators that it may be time to look at adjusting your baby's nap schedule, preparing and potentially dropping to one less nap a day. So number one, we have nap resistance. I've talked about this. It's a really common part of development as well. But if we are seeing persistent nap resistance, prolonged sleep onset, which means it's just taking them longer and longer to fall asleep, they're just resisting it so hard, this can signal that it's time for a nap transition or a tweak in their nap amounts, especially if you pair that with 3 to 2 naps between 6 and 8 months, 2 to 1 nap between 15-18 months, 1 to 0 naps between 2.5 to 3. This is providing some significant evidence that something needs to shift. Number two, short naps. If your baby's naps start to shorten when they've previously been longer in length, they might be ready for fewer but longer naps. So I much prefer to consolidate a nap over keeping more naps around because, like we mentioned at the beginning, naps are designed to shave off sleep pressure. And say we're talking about an 8-month-old and they're on 3 naps during the day, but they've all become cat naps or have always been cat naps. This means that they can go into bedtime. They might fall asleep with ease, but they have a lot less sleep pressure to sustain them overnight because they are capable of bigger awake times. But that's also really hard if they're catnapping. It's hard to stay awake for a really big chunk of time if it's just a 30 or 40 minute nap. It's much easier to stay awake for a period of time and build that sleep pressure up nice and high to sustain them the whole night when they've had a longer chunk of sleep, like 1.5 to 2 hours. So if catnapping has been something that's just come on board, they used to consolidate sleep and now they don't, this would be a clear indicator for me that we want to work through a nap transition with them. Again, paring it down to what age and stage they're at too. Number 3, bedtime struggles. Difficulty falling asleep. So that's that delayed sleep onset. They might be happy enough in there, just whinging, tossing and turning, but you're like, wow, it's taking them a really long time to fall asleep. Generally, I explain to my families I work with that the average sleep onset is around 5 to 20 minutes for humans. It basically takes us 5 to 20 minutes to go from awake to drowsy to asleep. If we're starting to hit 30, 40, 50 minutes, hour, hour and a half, we're like, what is going on here? And we really don't want them to just hang in bed and just spend all this time awake and not sleeping before asleep, because this can lead into things like insomnia as an adult, lying in bed, our minds are just wired and we're just thinking and not sleeping. So we really want to make sure that our kids are falling asleep within about 5 to 20 minutes. And we're seeing signs of that in that time that they're getting themselves there. Or if you are still assisting your child with falling asleep, it's taking you 5 to 20 minutes in your arms or however you're doing this. That is what we're looking at optimally for falling asleep. Number 5, increased alertness. You are suddenly looking at your kid and going, wow, they do not look ready for a nap anytime soon. They look like they're ready to party. I don't think this is going to happen. You know, we know, as I mentioned before, dropping naps is a natural part of development. And we reduce naps and drop naps as they grow because they require more awake time. They have a need for more awake time to build up that sleep pressure to have that quality sleep at nighttime. So if they're just looking like they're loving life, they may benefit with longer intervals between the naps, which often can push out the need for one of their naps during the day. Of course, there are kids that no matter how tired they are, they almost misinterpret that body cue for tiredness as I need to get busier. And this is a regulation thing. This is the need for development of regulation and also providing the messaging and cues that allows them to feel safe with that body's feeling of when that tired wave comes, because in fact, it's a sign of discomfort, right? And when they're in an environment where there's no cues or messaging that it could be time for sleep, they will get busier. So we are considering what's going on environmentally as well at those times. And number 5, mood and behavior changes. Because what we know is a well-rested baby is typically happier. We know this in ourselves. We see it in our kids. We have more capacity, a larger window of tolerance for stress, for life, for challenges, for learning, for anything we do. Emotional regulation, it's so huge. Sleep is such a pivotal, foundational part of being a human. So if you're noticing lots of irritability, which could be because they've got extra naps around and it's disrupting the quality of their sleep overnight, they're having more longer awake time during the night, you're seeing them awake and just laying there, or maybe you're having to settle for longer periods, this is all a sign of a nap transition is likely on the cards, or at least shaving off some of those naps, or at least shaving off how long they're asleep for. So there you have it. They are the 3 main nap transitions that become more evident for us as parents and for our kids. So it's important to look at roughly when these happen. These can give us a really good guide. It's important to have a look at signs of readiness, because this really does help provide that evidence we need to say, yeah, this is something we want to navigate with our kids now. And the last tip to leave of all is that every baby will be different. Their sleep habits will vary. It's important to trust your instincts alongside guided information about your child's development and observe your baby's unique signals. What are they trying to tell you? Everything, every action, every emotion is some form of communication. We can get curious. What is this meaning? This helps us stay attuned to our babies, be led by them. And stress-free naps honestly leads to happier situations, happier families, right? So I hope that's been a really good, helpful, broad overview. Like I mentioned at the beginning, if you want some more specific tailoring for your baby's nap transition, this guide is $27. It is going to be one of those guides you refer back to, especially in parenting when we so easily doubt ourselves at moments in our parenting. And it's going to really give you, okay, this is a really good time. This is what you're seeing. This is what may happen. This is the expectation of how long roughly a nap transition takes. These are the ways you can do it so that you feel confident about experimenting and giving things a go, because that's what parenting is all about. So the quote I want to leave you with today is, parenting isn't about finding the perfect answer. It's about experimenting, learning, and adapting along the way, just like a child exploring the world. Remember, even if you think they need a nap transition, you're not quite sure, but you're seeing some signs, but you're feeling uncomfortable about it, give it a go. You can always bring it back. If you're like, whoa, I misread that, or that's not worked, give yourself some time to really assess if this is working, and then know that you always have options. If you need help and support, I'm here to guide you through. Until next time, Thrivers. That's it for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you got something from this episode. And the biggest takeaway I want you to remember is that you are not alone in this parenting journey. We really do need that village. So if this episode has resonated with you, I would love to hear about it. It really helps me grow this podcast and help share the content that really hits you where you need it. Send me a message or share this with a friend or tag me on social media. I really do love connecting with you. And if baby sleep has been feeling extra tough lately, or you're finding your mind just feels so cloudy in the baby sleep department, don't forget to grab your free sleep clarity session. The link is in the show notes. Let's make things easier together. So until next time, Thrivers, keep trusting yourself. You have got this.